All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NFL podcast for Tuesday, November 1st. I am Doug Norrie. That is an unmuted
James Davis.
And we're going to just take a quick look back at the NFL Week 8 and just kind of talk about some of the implications coming out of this week and how it looks going forward. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com or DFSR.com. For short, you head over to the site, and there's still time to grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab that calculates optimal lineups for NFL and also NBA, which has been absolutely crushing so far this year. We're going to record our first NBA podcast right after we record this one, so stay tuned for that. Free 3-day trial, and then just $29.95 a month after that, which includes projections for every sport that we have in the current season, NFL, NBA, and then baseline projections for NHL. It's about as good a deal as you'll get anywhere, so just go check that out. All right, so I'm going to give you a quick list of names. You tell me what they all have in common. You ready?
Yes.
Spencer Ware, T.Y. Hilton, okay. Julio Jones, Alex Smith, Jacquizz Rodgers, Ty Montgomery, well, Randall Cobb, sort of, C.J. Fedorowicz. That's all I have so far. What do you think all those guys have in common this week?
Okay. They're all players in the National Football League in the United States of America.
Bang. Anything else? Because I could have named it. The list might have been longer if that was the only criteria.
All guys who missed. Well, I thought it was just a relevant sample. With only a 30-minute podcast today, so what do I know? I think it was they all missed at least some time during this week based on injury.
Injuries. That is the key for this week. So there's variance keys for pieces of variance for every sport, right? Like baseball just has its own built-in dumb variance that every single pitch has wild variance on it. And then, like in basketball, the variance is, foul trouble or,
blowouts,
things like that. Football, it's clearly injuries, right? So, this is not a new concept by any means, where we obviously understand the injury risk in the NFL is higher than it is anywhere else. But man, this week was just crazy with the injuries.
It's been absurd. Yeah.
It was crazy because it was injuries. Now, look, that list of guys that I gave are not all created equal. A lot of them came back into the game, but Spencer Ware was a chalk play. He kind of goes down pretty early. But guys like T.Y. Hilton and Julio Jones were sort of just clearly playing hurt. Like Hilton left the game and Jones just he just looked slow. He was like mostly a decoy for most of the game. But I have so many ways to go with this injury piece and just sort of how the week played out. But the biggest one was probably that with all these injuries – that the cash lines were just so low across the board, because when you combine these plus a couple other high percentage plays, it kept the cash lines low. I know I'm kind of all over the place because I feel like there's lots of ideas just wrapped up into this one.
You're excited, buddy.
I am excited. I know. I'm 3 minutes and 15 seconds and you barely talked. But the
the cash line for this week in the $5 double up on FanDuel was 100.00, which is the lowest that I've ever seen it. And it's pretty crazy, too, because the other big takeaway I had from this week and just the last few weeks in general is just how much, the industry that we're in, which is content providing for DFS, has changed the game in terms of playing percentages. So, just for a quick frame of reference, there were three players in this double up that had 75% ownership or more, and then at least another two that I could see that had 50% ownership or more. And that is just insane. I mean, you could go a whole season 2 years ago without having a single guy at 80% ownership. And now we've seen back-to-back weeks where that's not the case. And this is also going to lead to wild swings in where the cash line is if effectively everyone's playing the same guy. And in this case, we have three guys that really underperformed the wide receiver position in Jones, Evans, and Hilton, combined scored 16 points on 27,000 in salary. That's going to just lead to some really, really wild results. And it leaves me wondering where the new opportunity is, where are the new inefficiencies that we can exploit?
Well, there's a couple of things. And then when you combine those with a guy like Ware, who's 50% or more, and he goes down, and now all of a sudden you were in a situation where you kind of just like needed one guy to be really good for your team. Like if you had, in the end, we were actually fine. So I'm actually not complaining about it.
Our lineups, our optimal lineups scored 150 points. So right. Solid head of the cash.
Well, it's so funny too, because our Thursday lineups cashed 50-50s with a zero from Cobb, which is like pretty much tells you the whole thing. Like that's like it's like a baseball thing. It's like, oh, I went 0 for 4. I still cashed, They rained out. I still cashed. But it's just so funny. If you had one guy like that, like if you had Aaron Rodgers, if you had Amari Cooper, you know, if you had one guy that kind of just crushed it, that was maybe 20% or less start, that's kind of all you needed. And that, I just like not sure that's a good thing, like for DFS in general. I just don't know if that is what the common player wants to happen. I don't know if I know another way around it, but this week really speaks to just, I think, well, you know, you said like what was the inefficiency? There's a couple inefficiencies. One is that you could probably make a case in football to take more of a baseball strategy, which is to spread out your cash games among lots of different variations rather than just one. And now, again, you might get bit by the injury bug with something like that, because it's likely that you'll have, like if you model like us, like it's likely that you'll have the same, like, okay, if we were to do that, Aaron Rodgers would have been the quarterback in every lineup. So like, I'm not, so if he gets injured, then you're kind of just dumped anyway. But I think you could make a case for spreading it out to reduce a little bit of that and to hit some of that, you know, grander upside for when a guy like, you know, if you were close on Hilton and Cooper, right? And you, and we were like us and you went, because they're pretty much the same price, I think. And
if Cooper a little cheaper.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. So even better, because we had Hilton everywhere. And you know, if at one point in one of those lineups, it just deviates to Cooper just a little bit. And this is clearly what like mass entry GBP players do. So it's not, this isn't like a new concept or anything, but it just probably, it probably means you just need to spread things out just a little bit more, because these weeks, I mean, there's huge opportunity in these weeks too. Cause if you paired Cooper and Rodgers together at any point, which our system was like sort of close to doing, but just like sort of, it was just a little too far down in the iteration, then you just are kind of rich at the end of the week.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, you know, it's worth talking, you know, brief segue. I mean, there was a lot of news from last weekend, but I think it's worth taking a brief segue just to talk about how gambling edges tend to change over time. And I've noticed this in a few different fields I've been a part of, and I think we're heading this way with DFS right now. So normally the way it works is edges tend to get smaller over time, I guess, right, is the long way of saying it. But we can have this illusion of edges growing when something starts to become really popular, right? So early on, you know, there's only a few niche people who do a certain activity. They tend to have a reasonable skill level. Like it was like this with poker, right? Live poker players, say, in the early 2000s. Then there's this big poker boom, and a bunch of people that are completely clueless come in, and the people that had been playing generally beat them because they know more than nothing. And we saw this in DFS too. Last season, you know, just winning in football essentially every week. You know, basketball did tremendously well last season as well. But now over time, you know, the initial burst of enthusiasm that so many people felt upon seeing the infinite commercials they saw last season has sort of died out. And the people that are really bad at it don't play anymore. And the people that survived found outfits like ours or some of our competitors who also do a pretty good job. And they have stuck with it, right? And so last season, maybe there was only a couple of times where there were 80% starts. And now this season, we have several guys per week in that range. And, you know, it's just worth noticing that. And when you notice everyone, the old Amarillo Slim, if you can't spot the sucker in the room, then you are the sucker thing. You really need to think about where you're going to start making your money. And it might just be that now big tournaments, it's so much easier to get separation with everyone playing the same guys that you decide to do that. Or it might just be play basketball instead, you know.
Right.
You really need to decide where you think you're beating people. Now, I think you and I talk about this a lot. I put my biggest entry of the season last week because I felt like our edge was so great. So it's not like there's no edge to be had. But I do think that, you know, it's worth keeping an eye on. If you're not feeling that way, if you're going into Sundays feeling uncertain, you can just not play if you don't feel like you have an
edge. Well, the problem with football, and by the way, this is like we mentioned the ownership levels on FanDuel. It was the same thing on DraftKings as well, just slightly different players. Like, you know, Devontae Adams was over 70%. I mean, the aforementioned Evans and Booker also. Booker was a 95% start. I mean, but I mean,
well, DraftKings is a little different because of late swap and stuff. So that's why
some of those things can't be helped because you know the pricing comes out early on some of these players. But I think what it mostly speaks to is, with football, like you said, you know, if you're not feeling good, in football, it's just so easy to feel good usually, right? Because the information, there's not that many, the player pool is so small, right? And the amount of resources at your disposal for football are so vast that most people are going to feel pretty good with their lineup for whatever reason going in. Like, you know, for instance, I'll use my brother-in-law, Casey. Like, Casey and I talk a lot of football. Casey knows that I am a writer and an analyst and own my own website. And, well, he'll still, like, and he knows we have optimal lineups, and he'll still just run his own lineup, which I get. I, you know, he's doing his own thing, and it makes sense. But the fact that you have, you know, we're communicating on a pretty, you know, personal basis, and he's still, you know, deviating from these things just tells me that you can just feel, you can make yourself feel good in just about any way you want to, you know what I mean, with football, because you have so many resources at your disposal. I'm not saying he has to use what we put out there, for sure. That's not my point. But my point is, you know, imagine in back in the day, if you had, you know, you had people that ran these projections, but you still felt confident going your own direction. I think that really speaks to it. It's just, you can feel confident with so many things in football.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And you can read, you know, a positive take on basically every player, or you can read a little piece of news about this coach getting this guy more touches. Yeah. So I think it is a fairly confusing quagmire, but yeah.
I'm not throwing shade at my brother-in-law. He's great. And he's great.
No.
I think he's probably going to listen. He's going to wonder if I was like saying, I'm just using that as an example of
you were being a lot less generous than you are now.
James, you stop now. All right, let's take a look at some of the bigger plays from this week and what it means for some of these guys going forward. We mentioned Aaron Rodgers to start. Rodgers goes out and doesn't throw for that many yards, but throws for a ton of touchdowns. The key for him, and this is something we had talked about on the podcast when we kind of just touted him over and over again, is he just runs, and he ends up becoming, you know, he's their leading passer and their leading rusher this week, where he runs for 60 yards. He doesn't throw for that many yards, but not much is going to change about this. He plays the Colts this week. Do you see him just sort of being just like the cash game guy going forward, just because of what he, just because sort of like what the Packers are doing on offense at this point?
Probably. I mean, one thing that we didn't point out, which feels really obvious in retrospect, was the fact that simply they just don't have any running game at all. And right. So we wound up hitting on his attempts, I think, just by looking at some previous game logs and things like that. But contextually, it makes sense. Like if you have all wide receivers that you hand the ball out of the backfield, you know, guys who are not built for 30 carries a game, then you're just not going to rush the ball 30 times a game. And that kind of outsized opportunity, we've seen this in other sports, is very rare at quarterback in particular. So I think that's why we kind of missed it. But the Packers are such an unusual situation right now that it's really hard to imagine them doing anything other than passing and passing and passing.
And sure, the two guys that were getting rushes were Montgomery and Cobb, and they both sat. And so they were really left with, and Don Jackson was barely off the practice squad. Nile Davis was the guy they picked up off the scrap heap. Aaron Ripkowski leads them in rushes. Well, excuse me, he tied with Rodgers at six. But yeah, I think that not much. I mean, if you get Cobb and Montgomery both back this week, they probably will run the ball a little bit more in some of that sort. It's not wildcatty stuff, but it's like, it doesn't look like, maybe it's just because I know their wide receivers and their numbers will look different, that it makes it look like different kinds of running plays. It's probably not. But it just, I mean, he goes against the Colts this week. There's just such a high floor in him just because they're just going to want to throw the ball so, so much. And they're just, I can't really see them deviating too much from that. A couple other performances. Last night was a big one. Jordan Howard comes back out, gets the ball 26 times for 154 yards. Is this a guy that we're going to be able to trust? I mean, Langford was back, Carey was there, so it wasn't like a total injury thing, but is that a guy going forward that we can trust at all from the Bears?
I think so. I mean, the Bears on a bye this week, so we unfortunately don't have a price on Howard going forward, but you know, his price had been trending back in the other direction, and while I think people were rightfully concerned about Langford, the 26 carries in a tough matchup with Minnesota indicates to me that they continue to see him as the guy. So yeah, it's going to be all price dependent, just like it always is, but it can never hurt to get the guy who just led the league in rushing for a week at something less than those kind of prices. So yeah, I'm keeping my eyes open.
Yeah, I was going to mention Brady here, but he doesn't, like with Howard, he doesn't play this week. So we'll get into him next week of that, kind of what we do with guys like Brady and Gronk, because I think they're pretty interesting. But what stood out to you from this week in terms of either big performances or, you know, trends you see happening? What were some other things we can hit on for, you know, looking back on week eight?
Well, I think another big thing that is kind of bubbled back to the surface here, and this is something we talked about a lot in the preseason, and I really highlighted in our free ebook, which you can get at dfsr.com/ebook, is this movement away from big rushing performances. I mean, yeah, there were six teams on a bye this week, and so that's, and a lot of those were the strong running games, but we had just four running backs. Yeah, there we go. Who had 100 yards or more this week. And, you know, Tim Hightower was one of them. So, you know, not really things that you could have projected, Jordan Howard, another one too. Versus we had a 500 yard passer in Derek Carr,
right.
Several 300 yard passers, and Kirk Cousins there at 458 passing yards. And we talked about this early in the season again, but really getting safety out of the passing game rather than the running game is the new trend in fantasy football. And interestingly, people tried to do this by gobbling up the really expensive wide receivers. Vegas had, you know, in terms of player prop bets, Hilton, Jones, and the other guy that everyone played that sucked.
Mike Evans.
Yeah, Mike Evans. That's the top three guys overall, and they all stunk. But I still think that the trend in the league is going to be getting safety out of the passing game and continuing to go cheap. Like, we went with Freeman and Booker, the Devontae brothers this week. And this week actually is shaping up, I think, to be really hard, specifically because I'm not sure where we're going to find our running back value. So,
well, there's going to be a couple guys like that. Like, Charkhandrick West could be on there if Ware doesn't pass concussion protocol, and you'll see a guy like him just kind of probably end up showing up a lot of places.
Sure, at 5,600, he'll be a sort of a must play if Ware's out.
And it's worth mentioning with that Hightower game that Ingram wasn't hurt. He just got benched, right? Like, he fumbled.
Yeah, for fumbling.
Right, he fumbled and got benched. Now, the Saints say that he's going to have a, quote, key role. The Saints are also just some of the worst in the league. It just, you know, like, Sean Payton's just a liar, basically. And it's fine. Like, you're not incentivized to tell the truth with stuff like this. But that guy, just no one seems to give as much misinformation as he does, like, in terms of, like, what their plans are to do things or players' roles or whatever. So I just, like, can't trust it. Like, it wouldn't shock me for Hightower to get just be have the, you know, be the guy going forward, although that is harder to trust in a non-injury situation.
Yeah, so let's dive into one of our sponsors. We have the lovely FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor is a site, a smaller DFS site, especially potentially with an impending merger of DraftKings and FanDuel. A lot of people don't want to just play where all the best players in the world play in the biggest contest possible. A lot of people just want to play and, you know, get smaller buy-ins in and have, you know, kind of closer contests against more casual competition. And that's where Fantasy Factor really shines in my mind. Continues to have very reasonable prize pools for the number of people that play there. They are offering a $5 bonus. So if you sign up, use promo code DFSR, and a $10 deposit or more, you get $5 instantly that you can just put right into play and start playing with. They're also doing some really fun stuff that I like. For instance, their new NHL contest this year, where you just put a buy-in in early in the season, and then it kind of tracks you from week to week, almost like in a season-long league where you just redraft every single week. But yeah, good stuff. Really nice guys. They're willing to innovate and listen to their customers because they're just not too big to not care about their customers yet. So that's fantasyfactor.com. Lots of free rolls right there on the front page. Again, use promo code DFSR, and they'll hook you up with that $5 bonus.
Yeah, and you mentioned the potential or the news on
impending.
Impending. It's who knows what this news stuff about FanDuel and DraftKings. Yeah, this is a hard one to comment on, and I suspect we heard from some people in our chat room. You know, if you, one thing I didn't mention when I was talking about the nice things on our site is we have a live chat room that goes 24/7, talking basically any sport that's going right now. The big talk is NBA since that's more of a day to day thing. But if you want to go over to the chat room, James and I are there a lot, and a couple of our other writers, Chris, our hockey writer and PGA guy who's great, he's in there a lot. So just talking all sports. Anyways, one thing that kept coming up was, you know, what do you think a merger does to the industry? I kind of was hesitant to even comment on it because it's just not a thing right now, although there's enough specifics that have come out about it that it really seems like it's going to be a thing. Like, it's one thing, it's like, hey, they discussed it. It's another thing when it's like, Robbins will be the new CEO and Nigel's going to be the board of directors. That's very specific. Like, that's like a very specific discussion that's happened, and that is actually what makes me think that it probably will happen. Though it is one of those hard things to really quantify without more details. I mean, what was your gut thought when you heard about it? I know this is an NFL podcast, but whatever, it's DFS in general, and this is actually kind of important news. What was your gut thought when you hear that they are, that it's maybe now a little closer to the finish line than we thought before?
Yeah, my gut thought was not a positive one, and that's just largely, I mean, for a number of reasons. First of all, this merger, I believe, never happens if the government doesn't try to meddle in the business of DFS, which I, of course, don't think they really have the authority or the moral ground to stand on to do so. Because, I believe this is primarily motivated by the fact that, so like, New York State has these licensing fees, right? And if you have to pay a baseline fee to simply operate in a state, well, if you're only one organization, you pay half as many fees as if you're two, right? So that's, I think, the baseline of it. I think from a consumer perspective or from a content provider perspective, it's just never great for anyone when, you know, people get too big to fail, right? And in this case, FanDuel and DraftKings have always had to compete against one another, and I think it's led to them upping their game quite a bit. And if they don't have to compete with one another, they can really do a lot of stuff. And not that they necessarily will. You know, we've had positive dealings with both companies in the past. But it just makes me feel concerned. It can never be a good thing when there's less competition in a marketplace.
To be clear, like, you're not commenting on those two companies. You're commenting on just, like, writ large when things consolidate and there's less competition. Now, it's funny because on the one hand, my gut feeling is the same as yours. It's like, well, businesses and growth don't tend to consolidate. So you're like, okay, not a great sign. On the other hand, there's a couple other things that could come from it. One could be smaller sites maybe jumping toward the front of one of these. We end up seeing one of these other, you know, like the aforementioned Fantasy Factor, and there's a bunch of other DFS sites out there that are able to sort of jump up into the fray depending on how this would end up happening, right? So now, if FanDuel and DraftKings continue to be two separate sort of entities, then, you know, under the same umbrella, then it's just hard to know. I guess, you know what the problem is? I think there could be some good to come out of it, but this is the unintended consequences of overregulation of certain things. It's like, yes, you get everyone to come and say, well, hey, guess what? Well, I don't want to pay all that now. So thanks for ruining it. And now we're just going to have to become one company. And guess what? You're not going to get double the fees like you thought you were going to get. Now you're just going to get one.
And then they get mad because they're not getting their fees. And, you know, then they have antitrust things that they can dip into. So yeah, it's just, it's a mess. I mean, hopefully good stuff will come from it, but as of right now, there's not really a lot we can do about it or anything we can advise on, but, you know, I guess it's worth bringing up.
A couple other notes from week 8. I think that the major takeaway that's going to be, because, you know, Tuesday we spend our day auditing teams and taking a look at situations. Do you think that this is going to be, I just did a quick run down the Rolodex here of plays and just in terms of what's coming out from our baseline projections. Are you envisioning week 9 to be one of the harder ones that we've had to evaluate with guys like Hilton being banged up and Jones being banged up and Tevin Coleman coming back? Like, do you have a pit in your stomach like I do when it comes to writing the picture already for week 9?
Well, which we're gonna publish? Not yet, I guess. I mean, because I do think that there are some situations that could shake out favorably and make things a lot easier. So, you know, if we get definitive news that Jonquizz Rodgers isn't going to play, like he was spotted in a walking boot yesterday.
Right.
So if he weren't going to play, that would make our lives a heck of a lot easier. You know, same story like Devontae Booker and, you know, these kind of, some of these other situations, the Spencer Ware situation. So there are things that could break down that would give us a lot of clarity going forward. Likewise, if Julio Jones were going to be out, you know, it might run into a situation actually where we just wind up with a glut of value and trying to figure out where to spend up is the problem. I think the real kind of devil's bargain this week is going to be deciding who, if any, of the kind of banged up guys you decide to play, because like we were off Julio Jones this season and by and large that's been a positive thing, and then we wound up playing him 2 weeks ago when he was great, when it was finally clear that he had sort of recovered, but now he's kind of banged up again, and so, you know, his price will probably trend down a little bit and then he's going to get a great matchup, and do you play him or don't you? You know, it's going to be really tough. Same story with T.Y. Hilton, probably an easier fade just because he's kind of erratic in general, but yeah, it's very, very dicey to try and navigate these waters. You know, a lot of the really reliable options like Antonio Brown, he's still dealing with Landry Jones. The Pats are on a bye. So, you know, a lot of the teams that are more consistent no longer are. The Packers are missing everyone. So I'm actually most nervous this week about figuring out where to spend up, because I do think that with the number of different value-based situations that we have, that we'll get two or three guys that will help us afford to spend up at other spots.
Yeah, J.J. is back with the Dolphins this week. He might be a guy that if you're just looking for a guy, you know, if we can count on 24 carries from a non-injured running back, like 7,100, I'm looking on FanDuel.
That's a lot.
It is a lot for sure. It's not into that upper echelon if you think that he is just a 25 carry a game guy. Like, I don't think he's a, you know, 8 yard per carry or whatever some insane number he has, like rushing for 200 yards each game, but just the floor is high in guys like that if there's no question marks about them. Like, this, if that's going to be the theme, right? No question marks, right? JJ has no one. At this point, you cannot imagine them, Miami, going back to, like, any running back by committee at all, right?
Like, it doesn't seem like it, right, except for the fact that there's only been 2 weeks in the past where they haven't done that, and it was the last 2 weeks.
Well, sometimes, though, sometimes a guy can make a bad coach, like, just force his hand with a situation, and then no one would kill him. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, if JHI this week had 25 carries and 80 yards, like, it wouldn't be like, and they lost, it wouldn't, like, be like the fans would be up in arms, because they can at least point back to, dude, the guy had 400 yards in the last 2 weeks. Like, what do you want me to do, right? Like, so, like, sometimes, and now, again, this is a situation where the coaching staff could not figure this out for the first, like, 5 games of the year or whatever.
The last 3 years.
Right, exactly. They just can't. They're just like, you know what, we'll just keep doing? Just kind of get everyone gets their turn, you know? Like, it's just going to be a fair, you know? It'll just be fair. Everyone will get their turn, and they'll kind of, everyone will get their participation trophy at the end, and everyone will feel good about themselves. But, like, they just weren't able. Now, again, it doesn't also make sense to just run your guys into the ground, but it also, you can't run out guys that stink and just can't get through holes and get into the open field. So if a guy like him just has no question marks, has no injury tag, has no one butting up against him, like, because I'm looking down this list of running backs, like, sort of in the same range, every single guy has some kind of question mark. Le'Veon Bell has the bad quarterback.
Murray has DeMarco Murray hurt his toe.
Questionable tag. Devontae Booker's price went up and he's a little hurt. Ware is hurt. Rodgers is hurt. Ajayi kind of sits with nothing. Ingram has a guy there. You know, Michael, they've split their carries a little bit in Seattle. So it's just like, this is, there are just too many things. So you do get some safety from a guy who maybe is just has at least clarity in a situation.
Yeah, that, I think that's fair. Maybe you decide to do that with like Ezekiel Elliott or something.
Yeah, he's the guy I missed actually, but yeah.
Who's been solid but unspectacular. Also super, super, super expensive. So I don't know. I mean, I do, again, I think we're going to get some value at the running back position. I think that's where we're going to wind up going. But we're not going to want to pay up at wide receiver. So as of right now, not very helpful, but this, I think it's shaping up to potentially be a really, really hard week or just a maddening week. Like I mentioned to you, like my mood on Sunday just swang so wildly all over the place because swung? What's the word?
Yeah, dude, it's swang. That's fine.
Swang. And my mood was just swanging on Sunday because, well, it was like CJ Fedorowicz is out right after scoring a touchdown. We're sending frantic texts. T.Y. Hilton is out. He's back. No, he's out again. Wait, Julio Jones stinks. And then I look up and we're 15 points above the cash line at the end of the day. Like,
right.
Like there's never been less correlation between my general mood during a day and our actual results, and so
I'm pretty nervous here. You have to think that I mean, we said it at the beginning, but this had to be the most frustrating Sunday for just across the entire industry, right? Because no one didn't a lot of double negatives here. No one didn't get hit by the injury bug, right? So like we had Hilton and Fedorowicz go. They both went down within like 15 seconds of each other or something like that. And I was like, wow, well, another week in the books. Yeah, I think that this is the problem with football. Like baseball offers its own sort of frustration levels on a per at bat basis when you just, you know, watch Jose Bautista strike out in his first at bat and you just throw your hands up and think, well, tonight's over, you know, like,
yeah, and your base is loaded or whatever.
Because in moments like that, it's very, very hard to evaluate every single thing. You're only evaluating your own lineup at that point, right? You're not evaluating that player X got hurt and this guy's not doing anything. And that kind of was the case. Like, everyone was having those same throw your hands up moments, just about just totally different guys. And so,
yeah, well, this week, right, we were bailed out by the fact that other people had injuries too. So normally, like, you can't count on a 50% Spencer Ware, who we had on DraftKings but not FanDuel, you can't count on him going down also in conjunction with your T.Y. Hilton going down and that kind of evening things out. So, yeah, it was crazy. I do think I have a sneaking suspicion that we'll wind up doing well this weekend because I think we do well with, you know, news coming in and how it breaks out. But right now it's like, you know, it's like studying for a final or something. Even if you're a good student, you're like anxious about it because of all the work that's going to have to go in. But
I'm just going to label this podcast Week 8 notes and Week 9 question marks all across. That'll be the title for the podcast. We're dailyfantasysportsrankings.com.
Wordsmith.
Oh yeah. I don't get paid to do this just because I'm just like making it up as I go along.
Daily. Well, you get paid because you own the business. There's really no way to not pay you, considering that, you know, that's what the paperwork says, that you and I both get paid. So.
And believe me, you tried. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. We'll be back again Thursday morning talking about our Week 9 value plays for NFL. We are also going to be recording our first NBA podcast as soon as we get off the phone here. So go and check that out. That'll be up on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio, hopefully later on today. And DFSR.com, free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. Calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings while they're still separate entities. $29.95 a month after that free day trial, and that includes our projections for every sport we do. We do not think you're going to find a better deal in the entire business. And then if you want some proof in the pudding, just head over to the chat room that I mentioned before and just say, hey, is it worth it? And you'll get all the answers you need. We'll be back again on Thursday. Buddy, talking NBA in about 5 minutes. Talk to you.
Yeah.
Peace.